Good morning. My name is Maureen Sear. I represent Marcel Sampson, and I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Proceed.
Thank you. In this case, multiple errors cumulatively denied Mr. Sampson a fair trial. Therefore, his convictions must be reversed. There are several issues raised. I believe most of those are adequately addressed in the briefs. Today, I would like to focus on the expert testimony issue. The trial court's decision to exclude the testimony of Mr. Sampson's expert witness, Dr. Yuli, who is an expert on memory and could have given the jury some information to help them evaluate the children's statements, the exclusion of the testimony violated ER 702 and Mr. Sampson's constitutional right to present a defense. As I stated, Dr. Yuli is an expert on memory, and he is an expert on a technique that has been developed based on research into how memory functions and how the technique is a set of several criteria that an expert can apply to a person's statement to determine whether or not that statement shows characteristics that undermine the conclusion that the statement was a product of a person's actual memories. He applied those criteria to the children's statements in this case and identified three characteristics that to him demonstrated that these statements possibly are not the products of the children's actual memories. That is that the statements changed over time, they were characterized by incoherent and unlikely features, and the children's statements were affected by the communication between the children, all the children involved in the case, as well as the communication between the children and their mothers.
What was the precise proffer of the ultimate conclusion he was going to testify to?
He was going to say that it's unlikely that these statements were the product of actual memories. For example, often the children would state when asked to describe what had happened. So the children might make a statement, oh, Mr. Sampson touched me. They were asked to describe, well, tell us what happened. The children would then say, I forgot. And both the children said this several times, and also their testimony at trial tended to say, I don't know, often at trial. Now, Dr. Yuli in his report stated that children are not likely to forget major details like that. That might be counterintuitive, and that's why this is one reason why his expert testimony would have been helpful to the jury. An ordinary juror might think that, perhaps a child had blocked out the central details of abuse. That's a common belief that people often block out traumatic memories. Whereas, according to Dr. Yuli's expert opinion, children are not likely to block out the central details of an event such as that.
Did he proffer that piece of testimony as well?
Yeah, it's in his report.
Now, as far as the inconsistent statements or the fact that they seem to change in sequence after they've talked to others, isn't that something that any lawyer could bring to the attention of the jury and they could draw conclusions from those changes and from the inconsistencies over time without the benefit of the expert?
Well, I guess the lawyer could say it in closing argument or something like that, but the lawyer's statements, first of all, the jury is instructed that the lawyer's statements aren't evidence. And secondly, the jury is aware that the lawyer is not an expert on memory, that the lawyer doesn't have any expertise or knowledge of scientific research that demonstrates that is the research that has been done into how a child's statements can be influenced by talking about issues such as this. And it's very clear that the children overheard the mothers talking about Mr. Sampson's prior sex offense. The children were aware that the mothers were upset with him for other reasons. And it's possible that the children could have manufactured. And again, Dr. Yulee wouldn't say that the children deliberately were lying about this, but that there is possible that the children's memories were affected by these other outside influences. This is like expert testimony into eyewitness identifications, which the courts generally now recognize is admissible, that it does not invade the province of the jury, that expert testimony about memory and how it works and how that knowledge about, that scientific knowledge about how memory works can help us evaluate a person's statement, such as a statement identifying somebody as a perpetrator, or in this case, a children's statements about events that they claim happened to them. And there's really no other effective way to defend against this kind of these kinds of allegations. This was the principal evidence offered against Mr. Sampson. The traditional tools such as cross-examination are not adequate because, as has been recognized in the case law regarding eyewitness testimony, identification testimony, often the witness believes what they're saying. So it's not that it's a lie. And cross-examination, which can be so effective at uncovering a witness's bias or motive to lie, is simply not effective here because there is no the issue isn't the witness's bias or motive to lie. The issue is the witness may believe something, but that is not actually true. And in this case, the exclusion of the expert testimony was not harmless. This is a violation of Mr. Sampson's constitutional right to present a defense. The state bears the burden to prove it was harmless beyond a reasonable doubt. Because these children's statements were central to the case, and the testimony would have given the jury some real good tools to help them evaluate those statements, the exclusion of the testimony was not harmless. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is David Seaver. I'm here on behalf of the state of Washington, asking this court to affirm Mr. Sampson's convictions and sentence. I'll spend my time addressing the exclusion of Dr. Yulee's testimony. And as the court's aware, one of the conditions for admissibility is that the expert's testimony would be helpful to the jury insofar as his expertise is something beyond the capabilities of your average lay juror to know going into the trial. Here, I think there's a little bit of slipperiness in Dr. Yulee's report that was offered as the sole basis, the sole offer of proof as to what he would testify to, in that he pays kind of passing reference to his expertise in human memory, but in large measure his report concerns his expertise in child interviewing techniques for forensic purposes and the best practices. But in his report, he has nothing to say about the quality of the forensic interviews conducted in this investigation and doesn't and expresses no intent to offer any testimony on that.
As counsel suggested, he would point out that children do not often forget or do not forget key facts in traumatic experiences. Is that really a fact that's within the common knowledge of jurors and should be excluded? Or is it really an expert opinion that would have been helpful?
His report doesn't go into great detail on the subject. I do find it something that a jury would not the proposition that a witness who experienced something traumatic is unlikely to forget it. It seems to me to be something that your average person would understand without needing a so-called expert to testify on that subject. It seems more like common sense. If the proposition was a witness is more likely to forget something that bad that happened to them, I guess that would be something that would be outside kind of the common experience of your average human being. But the proposition that they would be unlikely to forget something really bad happening to them seems to me a matter of kind of common sense more than anything else.
It wouldn't be unlikely to block it out or to remember only some of the details and not all of the details?
I think those are things that certainly that attorneys, through questioning of the witnesses themselves, can, you know, develop the ideas and argue to the jury. But to suggest that memory, if there had been a suggestion in Dr. Yulee's report, I suppose, that this was some kind of pathological suppression of painful memories or something of that nature, that would affect that. But I did not see that in Dr. Yulee's report. It's at Clerk's Papers 131 to 141, and I strongly recommend the court take a look at it, because really what it comes down to is he's just opining on these witnesses' credibility. And in conclusion in his report, he says, and I'll just briefly read this, it says, in summary, it's impossible to support the credibility of the allegations. When allegations vary in core details over time, it's impossible to determine which version, if any, should be treated as the correct allegation. The presence of unlikely elements adds to the problem of confirming credibility. And then the communication between witnesses raises the possibility of contamination of witness memory. Again, these are things that seem to be a matter of common sense. The only one that has ever even really been disputed before an appellate court was really the suggestibility of small children, and that the idea that they might be inclined to believe something that someone else tells them. And the state Supreme Court in both Swan and Willis said even something like that is within the capabilities of your average lay juror. The fact of the matter is Dr. Yulee was just going to be sitting essentially as a 13th juror and just criticizing these witnesses' accounts on the basis of things that required no special expertise. Had he been called to testify about the manner in which the forensic interviews were conducted, we'd be in a different posture, but he was not going to speak to that. He was only going to speak to the fact that these witnesses' accounts, these small children's accounts, weren't entirely consistent each time they retold them, and that they'd spoken to each other. Those are things that I would suggest an average lay juror would understand. And it's that kind of thing, whether witnesses who are reporting being abused by their mother's boyfriend or something like that, as was the case here, to equate that to the case law concerning the need for expert testimony or the desirability of it when you have strangers engaging in cross-racial eyewitness identification, like in Allen and the Oregon case that Mr. Sampson relies on, those are entirely inapposite cases to the situation. This is just a case of a domestic circumstance. There was no doubt as to the identification of these witnesses. And I think to start engaging in the idea that when a witness is incredible, it necessarily calls into question their memory and therefore requires the testimony of expert witnesses on matters that are really within common understanding of your average lay juror, I think would be a mistake, and I'd respectfully ask this court not to adopt it. I did want to briefly note, I noticed in getting ready for this argument that this is one of the instances where the appellant was seeking, regarding the awarding of costs, if the state were to prevail, that the state were opposing their request, and I just would like to formally withdraw our opposition and just defer to the court on that matter. I'm sorry I didn't submit anything in writing before now. If the court doesn't have any questions, I yield the remainder of my time. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're certainly not advocating a per se rule that such expert testimony is always admissible. I think it always depends on the facts of the case. I don't believe Swan does stand for the proposition that expert testimony regarding the suggestibility of children is always inadmissible. I think that the court has clarified later that again, it depends on the circumstances and the facts of the case. Here, the circumstances of the case, the proffer of Dr. Yulee's report demonstrates that it is relevant. His expert opinion would be helpful to the jury in deciding how to make sense of these aspects of the children's statements. And whether or not, so for example, the fact that the children's statements contain many fantastical elements. And often the children would change the details, such as were the clothes on, were the clothes off, was it on the bed, was it on the couch, often within, you know, the same page of testimony. The jury might, without the benefit of the expert testimony, the jury might conclude, well, they might disregard the fantastical elements and only focus on the elements that actually pertain to the charges. Whereas if they had the benefit of Dr. Yulee's testimony, they might learn that when a child's statement contains such fantastical elements as well as a lack of details regarding the central events, then that the research has shown that that tends to indicate that the statement is not actually true. It's not a function of the child's memory. And again, the question, this is an issue of expertise, because how memory operates, how a child might form what the child believes is a memory due to outside influences. That is an aspect of how the human brain works. It's a scientific realm that's not within the understanding of the average juror. And again, this is not an issue of interview techniques. Dr. Yulee's report does contain information, again, as I stated earlier, about a technique that's been developed to evaluate children's statements and try to determine whether or not they are probably the product of actual memories. For these reasons and for all the other reasons set forth in the brief, Mr. Sampson must be given a new trial. Thank you.
Thank you, Counsel.